Happy Jubilee. Is that something people say? I don't know, but I hope you're enjoying your long weekend and extra time off, whatever your views of the monarchy or republicanism. Now, I wanted to touch on the monarchy. As a Green, I believe in an elected head of state as a long-term policy goal. I don't think it's necessary to criticise the Queen herself as a person to criticise the monarchy, and I think doing so doesn't really help the Republican cause. The Queen, it has to be remembered, is just of her generation. I mean, sure, she says and believes some things that these days seem rather antiquated, but then she is very old. And if you compare her to people of her age, she probably has a more progressive set of views than a lot of them. And we have to put that in context. I'm not defending at all the whole idea of a right of rule that comes from birth. But that's what we have. And when we talk about replacing it, we need to think what we're going to put in its place. Now, I think we should replace it. But we have to bear in mind what happens currently when people choose our leaders. We end up with potentially something more objectionable than the Queen. Now, this isn't a reason not to have an elected head of state, but I think we need to put things in a priority list, in that what do we fix first? Do we fix an unelected head of state who effectively has no real power before we fix the means with which we select them? Because the most important thing for protecting our country now is to fix our electoral system and make it fair so that vested interests don't get what they want. At the moment, we have a prime minister elected by a very small percentage of the population. I mean, arguably just his constituents, but we have a party that is governing with a large majority, with well under half of the people choosing it. Now, do we want to use a similar system to elect a head of state? That doesn't really seem to fix anything. So the first thing to do is to fix the much more urgent problem, which is making the government more representative, because the government has power and we've got to pick our battles. We make elections fair, we get a representative government. And actually, when we get a representative government, lots more things will become easier, such as changing how we elect and choose our head of state. Now, people say that the Queen provides good checks and balances, and potentially they're right. I mean, if some really awful government came in, you could say, well, she'll just refuse to give laws royal assent. But how much further does the government have to push the Queen before that happens? Because we have a government now that illegally closes Parliament down when it's inconvenient for them, and all sorts of other things. When would the Queen step in? Where does it start? When they rig the democratic process, because that's happened with the neutering of the Electoral Commission and disenfranchising the voters without ID, which is effectively disenfranchising poorer voters. Does she step in when the leaders ignore the rules that they've made themselves, like ministers ignoring a ministerial code? Does she step in when they ignore international law, which they do as well? Maybe people say, well, she'll step in when it gets really bad. Maybe when they start just shooting people on the street. I mean, what point does it happen? So I don't think that holds much weight. Now, don't get me wrong. I know she sits there and she reads all the laws and thinks hard about these things, and good on her. And I'm not suggesting that's an easy job at all. And having to meet the Johnson once a week is probably pretty annoying as well. But if she doesn't actually stop in doing anything, then what power does she really have? And not only that, but could she stop him doing anything? Because this is a government that has shown that they have no regard for our constitutional safeguards. And if they ignore the ones we have there, why would they pay any attention to the Queen saying, don't do this, or refusing to give a law royal assent? So I'm not convinced that actually in this country, the head of state currently has any real power other than as a figurehead. Therefore, I think we pick our battles and we fix government before we worry about electing a head of state. So do we even need a head of state? Well, that's a pretty good question, because in America, for example, the head of government and the head of state are the same person. Perfectly doable. But in this country, do we want the head of government and the head of state to be the same person? Just think that would make it the current government even worse, wouldn't it? Although, as I've said, if we elect the head of state in the same way, then they're going to be pretty much aligned with the head of government. So what do we do? a head of state could be purely ceremonial, in which case, does it matter the hereditary? I mean, these are the questions we have to ask ourselves. If you believe that there should be somebody who goes around cutting ribbons and pinning medals on people and stuff, then you can argue that that person should be apolitical, because it's much easier, barring any arguments about monarchies and republicanism, it's much easier, isn't it, to accept some sort of award from somebody who is constitutionally apolitical, so you are not going to be disagreeing with them about any particular kind of politics, because they aren't allowed to say anything about it. Isn't it easier to have that person opening things and giving people civic honours than it is for somebody who you may detest? I mean, speaking personally, I would rather receive an award, should I ever receive some sort of award, I would rather receive one from the Queen than I would from Boris Johnson. Now, I'm not saying that that person who is the head of state has to inherit it, but if we vote for them, then that takes that sort of neutrality away. So what do we do? I don't think these are easy questions. I'm a big believer in democracy, but equally, I can see how having a democratically chosen head of state doing these ceremonial things is problematic. Perhaps it should be some sort of meritocracy. Perhaps the person who is head of state should be chosen from a wide variety of people who are experts in their field who are also non-political. Let's say you took a random number of, I don't know, engineers, doctors, scientists, artists, whatever, people who are not chosen based on any politics, but are based on some sort of expert knowledge. You ask them to choose, to have a shortlist, a bit like a Nobel Prize. Is that better? Yeah, that, I think that could work, because in theory you should get somebody good. But then the counter argument is that you get the head of state, the Queen gives consistency, and in some ways it's important to realise that there are problems with just the demand for electing a head of state. In the meantime, let's fix our government, because it's much more important to do something about that than it is to fix the head of state. I would like to see a head of state that everyone, at the very least, can sort of get behind and say, well, they're neutral and I don't object to them. At the most, people can see represents them in some way. I think with the society in this country at the moment, it's almost impossible for people to unite behind somebody and think they represent all of them. So you're kind of stuck with something that's going to be the least bad option. And until we can coherently come up with a plan for a less bad option than the current option, then I think getting rid of inherited power, such as it is, in our head of state is probably something to put on the back burner until we sort out the very real problem of unaccountable power actually making the decisions that affects us every day.